Quickly, let's read, or let me read one portion of the scriptures that will remind us of where we are. And that's from the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 24. That's the one we have been reading. The book of, well, it's like been the main thrust of the thing that I'm teaching in this season. I've been talking about the importance that the word of God has in our various lives and how we relate to it being the determinant of what we are going to experience. The way life is that God has given us great things to accomplish. But he says that in accomplishing those great things, you don't need to do anything great. You will follow the simple instructions that he's given, and great results will be accomplished in your life. And that's what we said the Bible means by the word grace. Grace we often describe as unmerited favor. That's not exactly what grace is. I'm not saying we merit it, but what characterizes grace is the power of God. Are you getting my point? That is, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his power working towards me did not prove it. That is, the grace of God is characterized by the release of his power. And I'm preaching again this afternoon for us to understand that that release of God's power is by certain things that we do, which all describe the principle of faith. I hope you get the point. Those things describe the principle of faith. So God gives us, expects great things out of our lives, but he has given us little things to do by which we will manifest those great things. All right, so one of those major things I want to look at in this series, and we've been looking at that, as how we relate with the Word of God. And just to mention, in the series of CDs that we have, there's this series titled Profiting from the Word of God. All right? Or then in another of our series, we have another one titled Relating Fruitfully with God's Word. Let's just try and get those things and listen to them. Many of the things inside those messages will be repeated in the course of this, but we can never hear them enough. All right? The Lord is good. All right, Mark chapter 4, from that verse 24. That's not the main one for today. I just want to remind us. The Bible says, let me quickly go to the Amplified Bible so that I don't spend any time. The Bible says in verse 24 that Jesus said to them, this is the principle of life. Be careful what you are hearing. Please notice this. Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge. Virtue meaning the power, all right, of God. The amount of the power of God or the grace of God that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you. That's what we have been discussing. Please notice that. We are supposed to seek for these things as men seek for silver, and as men seek for money, as men seek for material possessions. They get up every day trying to work for it. He said that's how we are supposed to seek the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Now, so I've been emphasizing this. Please listen to this. And let me just continue my message. Let's get into the scriptures I have for today. Let me not take any time. I read that Mark chapter 4 just to remind us of where we are. All right? We are looking at the issue of how the power in the word of God is released. You give it attention. Please listen to this. The first thing he said is be careful what you hear. You know why he said that? Because what matters most, all right, in life is what enters into your ears. Those things determine what your heart produces, all right? And that thing that begins to flow out of your heart, what the Bible calls the issues of life, all right, now affect your life in every way. That is, it first starts from where what you hear. Let me just remind us of this before I go into the main thing for today. If you go and listen to our series in the book of Genesis, when we began to study Genesis then, I explained a principle then. You will see, I'm not reading it now, but just go there. Go and read the encounter between Satan and Eve, all right? The serpent and Eve. This was what happened. The serpent came to Eve and said, has God said you shouldn't go near this tree? And what did she say? He said, we must not even touch it. Not only shouldn't we eat it, we must not touch it. He said, the day we eat of it, we will die. Then Satan began to speak to her. And he said to her, what was the first thing? You will not surely die. Now, please listen to this. Be careful what you hear. He said to her, you will not surely die. Be careful what you hear. He said, God knew that you will become wise. That's why he said, don't eat it. If you eat of it, you will become wise. You will be like God. Then Eve looked at that fruit, and suddenly the fruit looked nice and desirable as to want to make one wise. The question is, where was she all this while? Was that fruit not there all this while? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The fruit was there all this while, but it did not look desirable until a word was spoken, and that word created the perception of beauty in that fruit. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, in life, there's nothing that is... When I started writing, all right? In recent time, in this ministry thing, the very first article I wrote is titled The Concept of Beauty. I said there's nothing like, say, this girl is fine, this one is not fine. Guys, listen to me. It's nonsense. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay, all right? That is why every man, his wife must be the finest person to him. That's what I'm telling you, Frank. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It's very, very important. Because, let me not bore you with all these sociology matters. Now, the fact is that I have, in this my little life, I'm not even an old man yet, but I've seen men change the idea of beauty while I was watching. And I've read enough, all right, to see the whole world enter into confusion. Calabar of those days, if you were not weighing 275 kg as a woman, you were not fine. You get my point. So before your wedding day, they put you somewhere and turned you into a sumo wife. Do you follow my point? So that your husband will be proud of the day of your wedding. But these days, I also wedded some years ago. Before the wedding, your wife no go greet up again. Why? She must fit into the gown. You get my point? The chop now. No, my gown has been made. I must fit in. No. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? It's not the reciprocal of what we're doing just a few decades ago. Men, then, we die for sumo wives. This one, they'll be looking for women that are about to vanish. Why? They say it is fine. What does that tell you? I'll tell you simply. How did it come to be? That's the point I'm getting to. It's simple. They watch television. That's all. You don't know how these things come. You buy magazines. That's all. What am I saying? It is what you are told. That's what it is. It's what you are told. And that suddenly, you're not a bad person. No. Are you getting my point? So don't think that, I just don't say this one, fine. Nonsense. You were told over time that this is good. And that's why you start perceiving it as good. That's what I'm saying. Eve did not perceive that fruit looked nice until somebody suggested and first persuaded her that the thing will make her wise. Believe me, the concept of beating your mind is what you have been trained to expect from that thing. That's all. That's all. If I put a pack of crisp 1,000 naira notes here, man, the thing is beautiful. You know what I'm saying? I pack it like this, maybe 10 bundles. Each bundle is 100 grand. 10 bundles is what? 1 mila. Oh, may God bless you. You know mathematics. But let us assume I take the same color, paint it on ordinary pieces of paper, and stack it there. You won't even notice. You go, your look begin come out. I say, Pastor, should we sweep it into the dustbin? Are you still using it? So it is what you are expecting from me. That's what I'm going to explain. So one of the greatest things, in fact, not the greatest, one of them, I think about the greatest thing you can do for yourself in life is to aspire to get to a point where your perception of things is what God says about them. Where your perception of things is just what God says about them. It's very important. The greatest thing you can do for yourself so as to keep mentally together. There's a series I'm going to, those of you on my mailing list, you soon start getting a series on keeping Christian sanity, keeping your sanity as a believer. I've written the first one, but you won't get it for a while because we haven't finished the one on issue of increase and breakthrough. One way by which you can keep your head together is to get to a point where your perception of everything is dictated by what God says about that matter. So if God says something is good, you read it, drink it, hear it, imbibe it. Next time you look, the thing will look good. So Paul said, go and read Philippians chapter 1, one of my favorite scriptures, verses 9 and 10, that I want you to learn to approve those things that are excellent. It's a training process.
There are many things in life that we have been trained to approve those things that are not excellent. The example I give all the time, please don't be angry with me. All right? As I was growing up, I too saw it. If you see a man and his wife talking, and the man turns to the wife and says, "Honey," and the wife says, "Sugar, sweetie," you know, all kinds of sweet, sweet names. Are they good? Yes, go and read Ecclesiastes. They are beautiful names. And I think you should call your wife honey, Frank, sugar, sweetie. Call your wife everything. But then, did you notice? If you hear, I grew up also. If you hear a traditional woman call her husband my lord, you're like, which village is this one come from? Yeah. If her husband comes home and she kneels to greet him, say, can a bush woman be this one? In the year 2010, do they still make your type? But what's God's judgment? The only person commended in the Bible for the way she called her husband was Sarah. And what was the commendation about? That he looked and didn't say, "Abi, my sugar." Oh, did she say so? She said what? "My Lord." Do you get my point? We learn, it's not about how it feels. That's what happened to me. That's what I did. I trained myself with the word of God. So I learned that this one is better than this one. Paul said, learn to approve the ones that are what? Excellent. Not even do them. There are things that don't concern you. You don't have to do. If you're a single man waiting, concern you. What? Who calls what? Who? Or who calls who? What? Sorry. Are you going to follow my point? But the issue is, how do you relate with it? One of the major problems we have, sorry, please listen, we are in Enugu here, so let me say it. One of the major problems we have in Eastern Nigeria is we respect rich people too much. That's why. It's a simple reason why we have more kidnappers than any other region of Nigeria. It's a simple reason why we have more armed robbers than any other region of Nigeria. My friends will tell you, they can take night bus to go to the north, but they can't take night bus to come back from the north. It doesn't come from the desire to steal. We are just normal people. We are normal. You know, if we are not born again, we are normal sinners. The difference is that when a rich man appears, how do we relate with him because of his wealth? One of the problems we have in Nigeria today is that we respect people for their money's sake without asking where it came from. Take a place like United States of America. There's no rich man that you can name now that I don't know what he does. You name Bill Gates, I tell you about Microsoft. You talk about Dell, I'm using a Dell right here. You talk about, what's his name? Steve Jobs. You own an iPad, you've seen an iPad, or use his iMac, or you use an iPod. It's all over the place. You know what he does. If you mention the name Warren Buffett, I easily start telling you what Warren Buffett does in a society. If we look at a thief, he arrives with his fine big car, we refuse to take a lift. The young ones won't steal. I don't know where you get my point. He comes home to marry. And all the men and women, the parents said, "No, he can't marry my daughter. Their other children won't steal." Because they realize that this money doesn't buy anything in this place. They have a saying in my place. They say, if a man leaves the home in the morning to go and look for money, and he meets honor and dignity on the way, he goes back home, he realizes he does not need money anymore. Because if he had gotten the money, he would have bought honor and dignity with it. What am I saying? When we let people know that money without an explanation of a source does not buy honor and dignity, they will stop stealing. When a professor walks in, do you get my point? And you give him a seat before you give a boy, you don't know where he got his money from. You are telling the other children, don't steal. Read. I'm talking about learning to approve what? the things that are excellent. Let me get back to the story of Eve. Jesus said, be careful how what you hear. Eve paid attention. Suddenly, the fruit that had been there all this while, that there was nothing to eat. To. When they say, go near that fruit, he said, for what? I bet like person won't die for your eye. Then one day she looked, suddenly became what? Desirable. What stimulates your desire is based upon what you have heard. That's why Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Are you getting my point? This is what I'm teaching this season. Let's be careful what we hear and how much we hear it. The word of God creates. You know, you read scriptures. Like David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You think he was born like that? No. It's because of studying the word of God. You get my point? That the desire for his presence began to make him glad. Not because he feels like that naturally. When a man starts finding it difficult to take the time out to go and hear the word of God or study the word of God, he's backsliding in heart already. Go and check what he hears most of the time. It's the problems of life. He reads too much newspapers. I was in a church once. Anytime the pastor would appear, he go talk. I was just getting grieved. Then something happened. And I told my friends, I said, you know this man's problem? They said, what? I said, he reads too much of Nigerian newspapers. Then something happened. I traveled. When I came back to that church then, my friends gathered me and said, Banky, do you know what happened? I said, what? They said, in your absence, pastor came to church and said, I have realized that I am becoming a Nadeko prophet. You know the days of Nadeko? Therefore, he said, for a season, he's taking himself off newspapers. It was a case of, I said so. Listen, there's nothing really about some of the things we call fine or not fine. It's what we have been told. Let Agbani Darego try Miss Whatever 100 years ago. She won't even pass. In fact, she won't even think about it. You try Miss Calabar 100 years ago. They go look Agbani. Miss Wetin. You mean mistake Calabar or Miss Calabar? 100 years later, she's winning. Are you getting my point? And like I said, what do? We train ourselves with the word of God. And listen to me. When you have learned with God's word to think the way God thinks about things, you know what Jesus now said? He said, God's power and his virtue will be made available to you. That's a matter of fact. Life is not about struggling. It's about hearing the right things and believing the right things. That's all it is about. Let's continue. That's just trying to get ourselves back to exactly where we were in this series of teachings. All right, the Lord is good. Now let's read the scriptures for today. All right. The first one I want to read is the one we stopped with last time, the book of Proverbs chapter 2. I'll read about 3, then I continue with my teaching for today. Let's just quickly read them. The book of Proverbs chapter 2. I'll quickly read verse 4. We have been reading it for some time, so if you're not there, just listen to me, then I'll jump to the next one. He said, let me just start from verse 1 again. My son, if you receive my sayings, treasure my commandments within you, you make your ear attentive to wisdom. Verse 2, the same thing Jesus said, be careful what you hear. He said, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. If you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. He now said in verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Let's stop there, all right? We've read this one before. Then quickly open to the book of Ezekiel chapter 33, one of my favorites again. Ezekiel 33. I'll read this, then I will explain something. And then we'll be done for today. Let me quickly read from verse 30. Ezekiel, as you know, was prophesying, warning Israel about the things that are going to happen. God now looked at him at a time I was speaking to him concerning how people were relating with his ministry. He said, but as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord. And they come to you as people come and sit before you as my people and hear your words, but they do not, he said, but they do not do them. Yes. For they do, that is, they persist in doing that which is the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. That is what profits them materially. And behold, you are to them, please, this is my emphasis, verse 32, like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So it comes to pass, as it surely it will. So when it comes to pass, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. Verse 32 is my emphasis. He said, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. In summary, you are a preacher. You are to them like an entertainer. That's the summary. The difference between you and Two-Face, as far as they are concerned, is that Two-Face jams on Friday night, you jam on Sunday morning. That's the difference. They go as a habit to your presence. It's entertainment. Let me say something to you. I have looked at life today. I tell people, if you're a pastor of a church, don't ever judge your congregation by the people who come on Sunday morning. You are fooling yourself. You are fooling yourself. You want to know how many people you have? When is your midweek service? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's when you should count. If you want to deceive yourself and say we are the biggest church in the world, count on Sunday morning. That is when those who came to see Michael Jackson come. I was watching this man yesterday, 2 days ago on TV, Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen was being interviewed by Piers Morgan, he and his wife. Piers Morgan is a person who took over from Larry King as the main talk show person on CNN. Larry King retired in December. And when he introduced him, listen to this, he said, I bring for you today a preacher, rock star. You hear what I said? He said, he's a rock star, Joel and Victoria Osteen. He kept on hammering on that fact that this guy is a rock star. He said that thing in my hearing more than 5 times. In the interlude, he said, author, preacher, husband, rock star. Rock star. He said, because he's a British man, just moved to the United States. He said, when I came, you were the first person I saw on TV. And I've been watching you since. You know what he's saying? You are my Sunday or evening entertainment. I don't know whether you are hearing me. P.S. Morgan sat down and declared a preacher an entertainer. That is, your words don't mean jack. Some listen to Snoop Doggy Dogg. Some listen to Beyonce. Some listen to Eddie Murphy and his descendants. Chris Rock. You understand? Some listen to Joel Osteen. One of the reasons why Pastor Banky refuses till today to pastor a church that meets on Sunday morning is that it irritates me to be an entertainer. Ask those who help me book appointments. Ask Yinka, ask Roque, ask them. When you're organizing a major program and you write me a letter inviting me, I hate to go. It's our 17th anniversary. This man is coming. This one is coming. This one is coming. You will also come. Not this guy. This guy ain't going anywhere like that. You want to entertain your church members? May God bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace, prosperity, health, and long life. But this guy ain't coming. I'm not saying it's evil. But I perceive most times that people just want entertainment. Oh, I like the way that guy talks. I like the color of his suit, the way he matches his tie. You know, when he's talking, and preachers actually practice to entertain people. In case you have somebody that said that this guy is hard to find. That's why I'm hard to find. That's all. Some young people came from one Anglican church, they managed that day to invite me. They came having plotted for 2 years. I did not even know. They're young people. You see them, very young. How did they catch me? It's simple. They said I should please come and preach for 4 days. That's no entertainment. And we explained to them that Saturday will be hard. They said, okay, no problem. They will manage it 3 days. Then their diocese had some ordination ceremonies. They had to shift the program. The day the guy came here to come and inform Yinka, he was feeling bad. You could see it on his face. He finally went and got a letter from their vicar apologizing for shifting the date of the program and begging me to please honor the young men by coming another day. It was after I finished preaching, I realized that total they had planned for that program almost 3 years. And when I asked them, how long do I have to speak? They would tell me, 1 hour, 45 minutes. And I look at them and say, do you think this is the only thing I have to do today? That this ogre, please talk. We want to learn. So you see young people, they come and invite me. I go. Then you see big man, they find me. I know they go. Because one guy is looking for Michael Jackson. The other guy is looking. Michael Jackson is dead. They don't realize it. The other guy is looking for a teacher of the word of God. And for me, that's what's important. Believe me. For a lot of us, and let me just say this, this is the next thing I want to say. You don't know how much of entertainment factor is in your soul. You don't. You think you do. You don't. I don't. I assume I know. I try to be good. But the fact is that nobody really knows. Only God. You know, you don't know your heart as much as God does. Men can be full of deception. Open to the next scripture. You see what I'm saying. The book of James chapter 1. Sometimes people say that churches in Nigeria are growing. Do you know I hate hearing it? The question, how do you know? Some people, disco on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning, still the same disco continuing. No difference. It's still what? Entertainment. And listen, how you feel when a man is preaching does not in any way indicate whether you are an entertainment receptor or a word receptor. Once I was watching a program on TV and they were analyzing the life of PDD. You know PDD? And I remember this particular one. They say he organized the, of course, when they were doing the days of breakdance, he was a breakdancer. One of those backup people that did breakdance those days. Alright? The guy's an entertainer. And then one young man they showed, a young boy, this boy will be like 14, 13, 14, not more than 14. And when Diddy finished dancing, the boy went crazy. Oh, he's the man, he's the man. Oh, he's the man. Was it the Holy Spirit? Believe me, all your goosebumps, when a man is preaching, it can just be the same entertainment spirit. That's what I'm saying. One day, Michael Jackson waved out of a window, and one young guy said, "Who?" Now, he waved at a few thousands of people. And one young guy said, "Oh, he waved at me. Oh, he must love me." He must love you. He waved at how many people? Like 6,000 people staring at a building where he was hiding. What am I saying? You can go to church and fall under the power. It has not proved to you or me or the preacher that the word is touching you. People fall under the power when musicians come on shit. No. You haven't seen it before? Musicians go dance, 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 come on shit. All the bass for this side goes out under anointing. When he will fling his cap like this, you think T.B. Joshua has just come from his sand mountain that he used to go to do this? Oh, you didn't know T.B. Joshua when he was really doing his occultism. He has refrained. You didn't know him. Why do people follow him? Now, you guys don't know when this guy was, when his madness was just beginning. Right now, his mental state has stabilized into pure Christness. You know what I'm saying? People will be following him as jokers. Then he will show up He will kneel on sand and get up. And all the God people that God want to punish will be rushing for the sand. I say, yeah. Listen, how you feel, you know, when Pastor Banky just said that water, my body began to shake. It can just be that you are wishing he will marry you. That's all.
But the people don't marry. What I'm going to do?
He said, okay, well, God, you make my husband like that. That's what's making you shake. It's not anointing at all. It's good to shake under the power, amen? When you finish shaking, stabilize and think properly. Whether you want to obey or disobey. All this shake, shake, eh? It's temporary, you know? I like the way Oswald Chambers said it. He said, Peter and co followed Jesus to the top of the mountain, Mount of Transfiguration. When they saw glory, Peter said, hey, wait. Why do we need to go anywhere? Let's stay here. Just say, my friend, wake up. Let's go to real life. This is not a temporal matter. You can see glory and go to hell. You know, doesn't mean that's what Jesus was telling him. Come. I've just shown you that things are real. Let's now go and put the things that you know are real into practice. No, Pentecostals love it. Our fellowship was glorious that day. Hallelujah. As the man was preaching, we're just falling down. All your stupidity is still in your head, even though you fell down. Your disobedience to the word of God, it hasn't departed from your body. Even though you fell down. Better rise up and obey God. Do you understand my point? This falling is unnecessary. I'm not saying people don't fall under the power. I'm trying to get our minds to know what is real. After you have fallen, get up, clean your clothes, and say, Lord, while I was on the ground, what did you say? Whether you fell down or not, does not in any way change the reality of the word that's coming forth. It doesn't make it real. It does not make it unreal. Please, I hope you get my point. It's icing on the cake. Those who fell, amen. Those who did not fall, amen. Just leave the place and obey the word that was preached. Your church is not necessarily more powerful because after service, all of na cloth they dirty. You know what I mean? All of na don't fall down where. And you come down and say, bros, you were neat when you went to church. Say, it was anointing. I'm not saying it is bad, though. Please, I hope you are getting my point. I'm just saying it means what? Nothing. God, you know, God also plays. Yeah, he too likes to play. He likes to watch movie. So once in a while, he can. If you want entertainment, he will give it to you. But what am I saying? When you have finished being entertained by the Holy Spirit, get up and go for real obedience to the word of God. Listen, when you get to your office, there's no anointing that will tell you not to cheat somebody. Are you hearing my point? There is no anointing. You don't need to say, as I was about to take that bribe from him, the Holy Spirit came. And I began to feel like I felt that day when the word was coming forth. Listen, at that time, Holy Spirit will just stay on one side. Say, let me see what you are going to do. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? I said, Shubung somewhere. James chapter 1. Quickly, let's read that one. So he was saying to them in Ezekiel, that's what we have been looking at. If you read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I explained it there. That there are two ways the word of God, there are two approaches to relating with the word of God, or there are two kinds of people. And that's what I want to look at again now. I said there's a hearing and hearing, and those who think it's entertainment. Let's look at James chapter 1. From verse 21, it says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. He said, in humility, do what? Receive the word. Make sure it is implanted in your heart. That way, it will be able to save your souls. To further explain that, he said in verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude or deceive themselves. Now, please, that word deceive, you see in King James Bible, New King James, all right? This one's the New American Standard. Now, I want to explain something quickly here. You know, I was saying something earlier. That's where, that was when I said we should go to the book of James. I said that you really don't know the amount, you know, the relative, how do I say, the amount of serious hearing and as against entertainment hearing that your heart, your own, my own, Banky, all right, heart is engaging in. Why? Whatever you are thinking is what you are thinking. You understand my point? That's your perception. Now, what is deception? Deception is when, listen to this, deception is when you believe something and to you it is true, but the thing is false. A man who is lying may not be trying to deceive you. It may be because he's deceived already. That's very important. Let me give an example. Paul in the Bible, Saul then, was vigorously persecuting the church of Christ. And he thought he was doing God service. And until the Lord Jesus met him, he never doubted that he was right. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You know, they asked Joel Osteen on TV when Piers Morgan was interviewing him. He said, do you think that, they were talking about forgiveness. Can you forgive Osama bin Laden? Then they asked him at the point in time about what he thought concerning somebody like Adolf Hitler. And he said, well, I don't know everything. He doesn't know. You know, he was just trying to explain something. As he was speaking, and I smiled to myself, that if you ask God, he will say there are about 65,000 Americans who are worse than Adolf Hitler. And about maybe 200 of them are in Congress. You ask God. Do you get my point? They want to hang Osama bin Laden. God can tell them that the chairman of your Republican Party is worse than Osama bin Laden. I'm not saying he is. I'm just trying to explain that in the eyes of God. You understand? I was wishing Piers Morgan had asked me that question. I would have simply answered him, what do you mean about Adolf Hitler? He killed 6 million Jews. I said, he killed 6 million Jews. I'm not saying it's right, please get my point. Because he had the opportunity to. There are many people who will murder 25 million Jews, Gentiles combined, but nobody has given them the opportunity. Am I saying Adolf Hitler is good or bad? I'm not saying the man is good at all. I'm just saying you can't qualify his badness by the number of people that died in his hands. He's a vessel unto dishonor. He's a man who's doing the dishonorable work that you blame, not the vessel he's using. I don't know what I hear what I'm saying. The vessel made himself available. That is why some people think that Billy Graham is a saint. More saintly than maybe their local parish priest. Are you getting my point? I don't think so. I'm not saying he is not. I'm saying I don't know. Why? He's a vessel. Are you getting my point? He's what? A vessel is a vessel. He's just a vessel. That is, if you yield yourself, God will use you for what he wants to use you for. And the worldly, you know, the world will give all kinds of valuation to what God did through you or the devil did through you. Please, so I'm going somewhere in all these things that I'm saying. Is that okay? I'm talking about people deceiving themselves. Don't forget that. Now, a lot of people look and think they are better than Adolf Hitler. But God looks at their hearts and says, Brother Morgan, you and Adolf Hitler, the difference is when you were born and which country and the office I put you in. Because right here, you are calling Joel Osteen. You are criticizing him for judging because he repeated my word, saying that homosexuality is perversion according to the word of God. You are saying, what gives you the right to judge? I don't know what I get my point. God said this, oh boy, as far as I'm concerned, you have just killed 75 million people. You don't know how God judges. I'm going to something, all this is I'm saying. This is the point. There are people who think they love God because they go to church. But they are deceived. Now, I was saying something about Adolf Hitler. That's why I even got in there. If he asks Hitler, I don't know him. You know, he's not my friend. He never came to my house all those days that he was killing people. All the times I called him, he did not answer.
Let's make a long story short. He's not my friend. And I'm not trying to defend him. Is that okay? I am not in any way trying to defend him at all.
But if you asked him, he probably thought he was doing the rest of the world a favor.
Somebody said something about Adolf Hitler. I think it was, what's the name of it? Rick Joyner.
Rick Joyner said, if Adolf Hitler had died in 1939, he would have been a hero till today. Because in the space of a few years, he turned the German economy around. Before Adolf Hitler, if you paid a German his salary, he ran to the market to spend it. Because if he waited 1 hour, prices would have doubled. This inflation that was in Zimbabwe recently was a joke compared to what was in Germany in the 30s. Adolf Hitler stepped in, put an end to it, and brought their economy to the top again in just about 5 years. That was why Germans loved him. He said, if you had done the man a favor and killed him in 1939, he would have been a hero, an economic hero, a miracle worker till today. You will have gone to Harvard Business School and they will have told you how to turn around an ailing economy by studying Adolf Hitler. What am I saying? The man probably thought he was a good man. He thought he was doing what he was doing because that was the right thing to do. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about deception. I don't know how many of you know of Pol Pot. Cambodia. Khmer Rouge.
The pastor, is that in the Bible?
Anyway, Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge. Pol Pot was like this communist, one crazy guy anyway, who ruled Cambodia for 2 years and about 2 years, and during that period killed 2 million people. Cambodians. If you wore glasses, he killed you. Because it's a sign that you're educated. If you're educated, he killed you. He called the rebellion of the masses. He wiped out everybody that had sense. I'm serious. School teachers, he killed them. Why? Anyway, this is the point. When they overthrew him, a journalist interviewed Pol Pot. Pol Pot spent 2 hours trying to explain to her what was right in what he did. I don't know whether I get my point. That's what they call delusion. A man is deluded. He has been deceived. He's believing that which is wrong, but he thinks it is right. And listen to me, there's a certain degree of delusion in you listening to me and in me talking to you. What do I mean? Things you hold on to strongly, you think it's right, but it's actually not right. That is why you must never stop praying the prayer. Have mercy on me, O Lord. That which I see not, teach thou me. Very crucial. James said there are people who think they are good Christians. Why? Because they never miss a service. They are always in church. They are hearers of the word. Now, please, I'm not going to bring up something here. He said, but there's a difference between a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. And you must make sure that you are a what? Doer. Now, listen to what I want to say. That's what I want to preach today. Then I close. Doer of the word or hearer of the word describes what somebody is, not what he tries to do. Now, get my point. If a doer of the word is sleeping, it's still a doer of the word. Are you getting my point? Okay, let's say a good man and a bad man. It's not just what the person does. It's what the person is. A good man sleeping is a good man. An evil man sleeping is an evil man. A hearer of the word doing nothing is a hearer. A doer of the word doing nothing is what? A doer. It's what the person is. I'm going to bring up something. Because we have to use this one to judge ourselves. Now, this is where I'm going. If it is what I am, all right, that we are describing, not necessarily what I'm doing. It will show you, therefore, of course, a hearer of the word is a man who hears the word all the time. He loves to hear it. It's not just like they say it in his hearing. No, there are things like, now, I'm not a hearer of P-square. Do you understand? But I've heard their music. If you are selling it for 10 kobo, I won't buy. No, I'm serious about that. If you are distributing for free, and you say, take, P Square, I won't stretch out my hand to collect it. I don't desire anything they say. But I have heard their songs a lot of times. Why? I put on the TV, they jump into without invitation, bam, inside my house. Hey, jam, 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 jam. Say, my friend, get away. Before you switch the channel, 1 whole minute of, in fact, sometimes curiosity, you are looking at him. Why is his trouser hanging down? Why is his hair like that? You know, you are thinking. But I am not a hearer of P Square, even though I've heard P Square. Are you getting my point? Good. Now, a hearer of the word is not just somebody who has heard the word. It's somebody who goes frequently to hear it, who loves to hear it. And the Bible says he can still be deceived. I make bold to tell you again today, most Christians are today, 2011, they are deceived. They swear church number, they are deceived. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, next thing, let me quickly say this. A doer of the word, let me ask you, will he like to hear the word? Yes, but does that make him a hearer? No, he's something beyond a hearer. He hears, but he's called a doer. That is, there are characteristics in each person that's just beyond the matter of hearing or not hearing that describes his personality. This is why I'm explaining all of this. Because I want to show some of the things that lets you know somebody is a doer. And you let you know whether you are a doer. And you know whether you have been deceiving yourself or you have not been deceiving yourself. Please, I'm trying to get this thing clear. Just try and follow me closely. I'm trying not to lose my train of thought. Alright? Now, listen to this. I was saying, so apart from just doing, there are things, because before you do, the word must enter. You must first go to the stage of hearing before you get to the stage of doing. But you cannot do except you are a doer. Doing does not make you a doer. It's because you are a doer that you do. Did you hear what I said? God looks at the heart, not outside. So if God calls you a doer, like I said, you've heard me talk about cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is not a man who dances when he is giving. He may dance when he's giving. But a dancer can be a cheerful investor. You know that today, this day and age, we have a lot of cheerful investors in church. They are not cheerful givers. So God is not just describing cheerfulness because of what you look like outside. There's a particular trait, a character type that is called cheerful giver. In the same manner, there's a character type that's called hearer and doer. I'm trying to talk about the doer man. The doer man also hears. But even before he does, there are things that tell him, tell God, and tell, if you're a keen observer, tell you whether the person is a doer. Let me give you an example. A very simple example. It is rare, listen to me, this is what I think, for a hearer of the word to be a reader. Is rare. Usually readers tend to be more like doers of the word. Listen to what I'm saying. Because entertainment requires little effort. No man wakes up every morning trying to get entertained. They usually relax to get entertained. But because they want to eat, they go to work every day. So men, this is the difference between a man who just loves to be entertained and a man who lives by something. Nobody, listen to me, leaves his work for 5 days at a stretch to go and camp around P Square. No matter how anointed P Square thinks they are, or think they are. Are you getting my point? I want to bring out something to you here. But because you know if you don't work, you won't eat. What do you do every morning? You go to work. In the evening, you can cross your leg and listen to P Square. P Square can be playing while you are working. But oh boy, most of your time, what do? You work. Work is not entertainment. It is something you know you must do to live. I'm going somewhere. That's why when we're talking about the word also, a hearer, listen, there's a certain degree of effort that a hearer will not put into getting the word of God. That's what I'm saying. That only doers put. That is why it is rare for a hearer of the word to be a reader. It's rare. I'm talking about churches being full. Go to the same churches. Full. Morning till night, go and ask the pastor, how many people buy your tapes? I don't know what I hear them say. They can't, no. That effort is too much. It is too much. It is too much for most people. They will look at the book, listen to this, it's too voluminous. A medical student will tell you the word, a Bible, a scriptural book is too voluminous. No medical student on earth will ever open his or her mouth to say it, or a doctor. You know why? I went to school. I know the kind of volumes we read as a habit. How can somebody who studied law look at a book and say it's too voluminous? With all the law reports, your brain must imbibe, and you do, because without it, no grudge for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Without the guy, there's no food. So what do? You discipline yourself to cram Emeka versus Nigerian State, 1982. The verdict, who's the plaintiff? You understand? And who are they planning? All. You cram the whole thing. Why? Because without it, no food. I told a story last time that Sunday Adelaide told in that his book, Money Won't Make You Rich. He said this guy came to his church, poor, a pastor, and hardly literate. He bought tapes to learn the principles of becoming financially free. He listened to it, listened to them, and they made no sense because he was not very learned. But he wouldn't give up. It took him, I think, about 2 months of unrelenting attention before the message got through. That is a doer. It is not whether he has done it yet. It is because he realizes that by this word, a man shall live. Did you hear what I said? It is because he realizes that by this word, a man shall live. Therefore, having tried and tried and having not succeeded, he did not cease trying until he broke through. Are you seeing my point? I'm not describing the issue of a doer of the word. A doer of the word does obeys the word. That's true. He is a doer. He does the word. He obeys the word. He carries out the precepts of God. But that is the result of being a doer. He's not a doer because he does, but because he's a doer, he therefore obeys and practices the word of God. How do you know? Because a man must first get to a place, having heard the word, into a doing heart before he can manifest doing. I hope I'm not confusing with this doing and doing and do it, do or not do. You understand my point? You get what I'm saying? I'm going to explain one of the traits of somebody who is a doer. It is shown in the amount of attention. I just made a statement now that a man knows that without this, I can't break through. Bishop Oyedepo told a story then, how he conquered poverty. You can sit down and analyze the theology of some of the things he says. But that's not what I want to bring out. He said he looked back and realized that people around him had been poor. He looked to his left and his right, and people around him were poor. Pastors were poor. He said, no, I can't go on in this cycle of poverty. Listen to this. I want to know what the word of God says about becoming prosperous. So he went out, gathered a few of his friends, and they went for a retreat. And he said, I am not coming out until I know. Listen, until I have the word that declares prosperity into my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whether he obeys it or not is not the issue now. That is a doer's attitude. Are you getting my point? That is what? A doer's attitude. That's a doer's attitude. Because of what they realize. And that's what I'm trying to pass across to us in this season. We read somewhere, we read just now in the book of James. He said, receive the implanted, the word implanted, which is able to do what? Save your souls. Listen to this. This is a matter of fact. For every challenge you have, for every difficulty you have, listen to me. For every issue that may be in your life, listen, oh, there is a word that saves your soul at that time. Did you hear what I said? There is what? a word. Listen to me. Everything that God has planned in the heavens, I said to us several times here before, there's no surprise. You can't surprise God. You can't. Before the confusions that arose upon you in 2009, which joined with the troubles you had in 2010, began. It was recorded in heaven that such troubles exist or will exist on the earth. Are you getting my point? You think nobody don't see this type before? There are 7,000 people in caves who saw it. You're not the only Elijah of trouble. You understand what I'm saying? Plenty. And before then, God wrote something down. Or God issued forth a word as per the solution to that problem. Listen to what I'm saying. No, listen to this. That thing that God had recorded is written in heaven. It's what you and I now call his word. And before God solves that problem for you, you must receive that word. He sent his word and healed them. And that word delivered them from all their troubles. Are you getting my point? Now listen. Now I've said to you as a matter of fact, as a statement of fact, I have mentioned that to you now. Now, whether you believe it or not, will be reflected the day you enter into a kind of trouble. And whether you pick up your phone first, or you pick up your Bible first, is what tells you whether you are a doer or you are a hearer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. A doer realizes that my solution is here. A doer realizes, you know, let me tell you something. This is a matter of fact. You are doing business, you're in a particular level. Your turnover is good. In a year, you do 5 million naira turnover. You probably make a profit of 5 million, stuff like that. You find yourself in that cycle for about 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Listen, you start getting disturbed. That why am I on one spot for this length of time? Listen to what Christianity is. God says, what is the issue? He said, I want to move to another level. God said, the solution, the propelling force to take you from this level into the next level is in what? A word. Now, whether you are a doer or a hearer, what is a hearer? It's a good Christian that goes to church all the time and loves the sound of his or her pastor. Whew. I like the way he whips off his voice when he's about to get there. And then that's hearing. Hallelujah. Both the hearer and the doer, they pass through that phase. A hearer stops there. A doer, that's what I'm talking about, is somebody who knows that this cycle I'm in, to break out of this cycle into the next level, I need a propelling force which is only found in the word of God. That kind of person will take a retreat. If you don't go to work for 1 month, you are going to lose about 600,000 naira. He said, but if I catch a word, you will answer. I will move from doing 6 million naira a year of turnover to doing 600 million naira a year turnover. So what's the big deal if I lose 600 million in just 1 month? A doer will lose that 600,000, because he or she knows that the solution to move me to the next level is in the word that I receive. A doer is not somebody who has listened, because I hear pastors teach it. You wake up in the morning and say 7 things. Then sleep at night and say 8 things. Then people think doers are those who obey those repetitions. Pastor said, I won't want to pray. We'll face this wall. All right? Then you write the things you want on the wall. Hallelujah. You know, this is what I will receive. I receive it. They said, put up one right leg. Okay. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Say, have you done it? How many times? Your wife said, that's 17 times. Oh, no, they said 25. Hey, I receive it. I receive it. You have deceived yourself. You think you are a doer. Why? Because you repeated certain motions. It's called the fear they have for me is out of tradition learnt by rote. They crammed it. Pastor said in the time of affliction, you face this side. He said, Hezekiah faced the wall and he prayed. Okay, please, honey, write down the prayer of Hezekiah for me. All right. He said, no, the wall. Which wall? No, this is the bigger wall. Face the bigger wall. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. No, that's Jabez. Now they said Hezekiah. Okay, give me the... Oh Lord, how I served you, we tell. And you think you are a doer. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That's not who a doer is. Go and read my tract. Go and read my tract, The Cheerful Giver, so that you understand what I'm trying to say. I explain in that tract, or even in the book, Grace to Prosper, that a cheerful giver is not somebody who just dances when he's giving, or somebody who grieves because, let's just give. No, a cheerful giver is a person who has a certain kind of understanding that my future is not secure, all right, because I have money. It is not secured by the amount of money I have laid up. My future is not dependent upon these material things. Wealth can disappear. Money will grow wings, all right, and fly away. Therefore, do I really believe that my tomorrow is secure in God? Yes. So why don't I do the sufficient unto the day, the evil thereof? What is the evil currently? Give. So I'm giving because I'm not tied to money. I have good understanding. That is a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is not the person who dances. Hallelujah. Abraham, you can be dancing out of deception. I have seen men who have been jobbed, to job a man. 419 is stripping him of everything he has. But he's rejoicing as he's giving them money because he thinks that tomorrow I'll enter $100 million. He's deceived. So dancing does not make him a cheerful giver. He's a cheerful, conned man. That is, they have conned him, yet he's cheerful. He's a deceived man who does not know he's about to hang himself from all the losses he's about to incur. Who is a real cheerful giver? A real cheerful giver is a person who doesn't care. Not because he's careless, but because he knows that God is taking care. You follow my point? It's not about dancing. So he can dance. It's good. But that's not what makes him cheerful. Even if he's crying the day you collect the money from him, he's still a cheerful giver. If he's asleep, he's a cheerful giver. Stealing from a cheerful giver, all right, or begging from a cheerful giver, elicits the same kind of emotion. I don't know whether I get my point. Because you have deprived him of 100,000 naira, you stole it, he won't cry. If he gave it, he won't cry. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Some people will think cheerful givers, as he was giving the money, he was rejoicing. And God said, "Oh, my son, oh, see how he's rejoicing as he's dancing to my temple. I shall bless him." The guy is a criminal who's trying to con God. You get my point? And they told him that once you give them this 100K, you understand? God's going to give you 100 mil. Do you follow my point? So as he's doing it, he's dancing in deception. Are you getting my point? A cheerful giver can hurriedly give and walk away. It's not about dancing. Now, let me get back to, I was trying to use that to illustrate the issue of doer. A doer of the word is the same thing. A doer of the word is not the man who says, yes, what are the 17 steps to financial abundance? 1, pray in the morning. 2, confess 3 scriptures. 3, give a special offering. 4, send your offering on an errand. Rubbish Christian practice. 5, as you are putting the offering, write a prayer request with it. The type they tell you on television. Send the offering with the prayer request. I say, Pastor, forget it. So a man, he writes all those things down. They said, this is what makes a doer of the word. I said, that's not what a doer is. A doer is a man, a woman, who knows that the source of life for me is what God speaks. And if I have an issue, if I have a challenge, I don't rest until I get a word. I hope you're getting my point. Let's take an example. That business person I'm talking about, you're in that particular level. Year in, year out, you are moving around. It happens to even us ministers. I sit down, ask the Lord, what have I been doing? I checked my work over the last few years, and I continue to pray. Sometimes I tell you that I don't know exactly what I'll be doing next year. And I've been doing that for some years. I will now return and say, well, for this year, we will do what we have always done. Those of you who are co-workers, you hear me say it. All right? Because one of the words you get from God is to tell you that you are still in that level. There's no problem. It will just tell you, patience, my son, patience. What it means is that which you are doing, perfect the doing of it. Are you following my point? That which you are selling, that which you are manufacturing as a manufacturer, a business person, perfect the doing of it. And that's a word. What that word does is that it suddenly delivers you from the agony of being on one spot for a long time. I don't know what I get what I'm going to explain. Yes, it does. It's not every time the word will just push you to another level. But because it was that a word from God that kept you on that level in peace of mind. Because peace is powerful. It's the power of God manifested. Because it's that word that kept you at that level. When you need to move to the next level, then a word will arise from heaven and fly down to your heart. Then God will arise and say to somebody like Moses. He said, Moses, you have moved around this mountain, Mount Seir, long enough. It is time to turn northward. Are you getting my point? God saw him when he moved around the first time. He didn't see anything. Saw him when he moved around the second time. He didn't see anything. He'd been moving around for a while. Then God said, now is the time to turn northward. When you turn around and say, guys, it is time to turn northward. Suddenly the north opens for you to enter. I don't know what I hear what I'm trying to say. A doer realizes that. He doesn't solve his problems with networking. Are you getting my point? There are a lot of Christians. Listen, I'm talking to believers. I'm not talking to Bill Gates. Amen? I'm not talking to men who want to be Bill Gates. Or women who want to be Oprah Winfrey. No. I'm talking to who? Believers. What am I saying? Listen, before you pack up from one town, listen to me, one business, especially when frustration is the matter, listen, if you don't have an undeniable word, don't shift. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes you're in a town, maybe like you're in a city like Enugu, and business is not moving. Then Satan sends your friend in Lagos to call you. How far? And guys, things are awful. He said, eh. If you just move to Lagos, this begins to happen. How much are you selling in a day? 25,000. Ha, here. Before breakfast, we don't do 2.5 million. Then you hear the word of a man, empty, vain. Do you get my point? It moves you out of Enugu where you are doing your 25,000 naira business every so often. You move towards the one where you do 2.5 million before breakfast. You get there and what you meet is emptiness. Are you getting my point? You pushed and gave birth, like they said, to wind. That's all. Why? It wasn't God that moved you. I was present with one man when a pastor came to him in one of these Edo State towns. And he said that when this brook became dry, Elijah moved forward. That he wants to move forward from that town to another town because this town is dry. And the man said to him, Elijah did not move forward when the book became dry. The word of the Lord came to Elijah when the book became dry. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said, I'm not talking about Bill Gates. Don't tell me the story of Bill Gates. I'm telling you about your life as a believer. If you get to that kind of situation, things are dry. Things are not moving. That is when Christians fast and pray. And you know what I call fasting and praying. It is not the punishment of the stomach I'm describing. You see, I was telling my wife the other day that you see, people are lazy. And some of the things we do is actually laziness and the fact that we don't believe God. Like you've heard me describe now, that to leave that realm of business for another, you need to break away into a corner and hear a word. Are you getting my point? To hear that word, you need to refuse to go to the office for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month. Now, listen to me. This is what Christians love to do. They will continue to go to the office hungry and tell me they are fasting. Why? They can't release that 10,000 naira that will come that week. They can't let it go. So they will say, God, you know what I'm going to do? I will continue pursuing my 10,000 naira, but I won't eat only because of you. Do you get my point? And they say they are fasting. That's what I don't understand. A real doer of the word will say, God, this 50,000 I've made this month is an offering. That is, don't give me, I don't want. I'm not going to work. But I will not come back to work until I've heard my word. He said, give us this day our what? Daily bread. What is bread? It is the word that came down from heaven. That's real fasting. If that man sits at home and eats the little food he has there, he's fasting. Because he doesn't go to work, he settles down. He brings out the Bible and he starts reading. You'll be shocked. The day the word will come, it may just be he's reading how the children of Israel were about to cross the Red Sea. And he just saw that the Red Sea parted. And the Holy Spirit just parts something in his mind concerning his business. He goes back to the office. He divides his business into two. Tells his staff, you guys take this end of the business. I want to focus on this. You say, what has that got to do with the Red Sea? That's the word God gave him. Suddenly he focuses on that. And the next 1 year, that thing leaps. And then 3 years later, he starts telling you, if he's confused like most people are, all right, that you see, you have to learn how to focus. What was happening was that my focus was divided. And then when I learned to focus, the guy forgot that he took one whole month, sacrificed his income for 1 month. And the word came to him telling him divide. Yes, like I said about the simplicity of divine intervention, it seems to make sense. It appears like it is focused, except that for the next man, that will not be the problem. He may have read his own word from heaven that says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, it sounds funny. What has King Uzziah died? King Uzziah's death got to do with all the staff in his office? As he reads King Uzziah, he says, hey, that's my first guy. His name is Kingsley. The other girl is Uzoma. You understand my point? Just add it together. He spells Uzziah. And he sacks everybody. So the day all of you die from here, I will see the Lord. No, I'm telling you, that's how the word of God works. Or he opens his Bible. And of course, after they leave, he suddenly discovers that all these Judases were the ones ruining his business. That's the word. Another man says, the day that Lot departed from Abraham, the Lord appeared and told him, look to the north, the east, and said that, see that your brother and your sister that are working for you. In fact, that one is your nephew. Sack him. I know it will cause family problems. Sack him. See, this is not something I start teaching. Praise the Lord. When you have your relatives working for you, sack them. Hallelujah. That is how you move to the next level. Then they write a book on the error in hiring relatives. But we read Argel to know he hired relatives because they are the only ones that will stick with him in the times of trouble. When he didn't have money, he couldn't pay staff. The other people will demand their money, but the relatives will understand and they will wait until he's buoyant again. Therefore, he stuck with his relatives. See what I'm saying? There's no rule. But this is the point I'm making. A doer of the word knows what I'm saying. That this is the distress I am in right now. I need to move to another level. I don't start making calls and start asking other people how they did their own. I take a leave, go into a corner and say, until God gives me a word, I'm not living here. Do you get my point? That's a doer of the word. That's a doer of the word. Somebody who realizes that this is the source of life. Because of time, we may not go there. But if you read that Deuteronomy chapter 8 again, he said, God made you hungry and then he fed you with manna that you may know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Women don't conceive because they knew their husband alone, but because a word came. A friend called me once. He said, sir, my wife read the book, The Law of Life, and she conceived. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what it means. By man does not live by bread alone. That existence can be because a man has eaten. He said, but that's not the only way by which they get results. Doers of the word know that men don't do good business because of connection alone, but by every word. Therefore, everybody can go. The principles of networking. Because when they have prepared the network, I will remove them and put you in the center. Why? Because a word enters into him. He says, I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. Is networking good? Yes. But doers of the word don't seek it out. They wait for God to prepare the networks. Then they walk into those networks when doors are open. People don't understand. See, that's the confusion we have in the world today. People take the things that appear right. They want you to do them. Unfortunately, they are not doers of the word. I hope you get my point. They just want to do the word, you feel my point, but they are not doers. They think by practicing what Brother A gave me as a testimony, when my car was bad or was missing, I faced the wall. I drew a diagram of the new one I wanted, and I began to confess upon the diagram. So they repeat that, but because they are not doers, it produces nothing. They are repeaters of testimonies. I hope you are hearing what I'm saying. What have I said today? Let me summarize. A doer is the person who knows that the word of God is a source of life. That there's no fertile married woman as a Christian. There's none. There are only women who have eaten the word. That's all. There are no Christian men that have the skills for business. There's none. There are only those who have heard the word. See, you know what pains me about a lot of books we read? Many of those who write them don't know what happened. Did you hear what I said? Including the men who write autobiographies. Most, not many, don't know what happened. Because he said the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. Day by day he goes to sleep. The earth by itself produces. He himself does not know how. There are those who planted. And said that morning, after I planted, I went to my neighbor's farm and I went to water it for him as a seed. I did not water my own. Hallelujah. Just keep watering your neighbor's seed. God said he had nothing to do with the earth producing. You yourself will not know how. You do not know how. You get what I'm saying? So many people write books. And because of spiritual understanding, I read through the books. There are many books I've been reading through. I said, this man is not on, he doesn't have understanding. Christians who read him will only enter into confusion, except the word of God just happens to use something in here. That you see, oh God, listen to this. I just realized that is the difference between a doer and a hearer. A hearer will read that book, and because he's a hearer, he copies all the steps. He's not a doer. A doer will read the same book, but the word of God will leap from those pages to him. And he will operate what he heard from God while reading that book. And the people will think the book is a story. Bishop Oyedepo used to talk about a book he read by Gloria Copeland, from which he learned some principles that changed his life. Many have read the book because of Bishop Oyedepo, and their lives have not been changed. Why? It's not the book. It's the man who read it. Until you are a doer. If a doer will hear, will see the inscription of scripture by an idiot. You know what I mean? A madman on the road. He just, you know, there's one guy in Enugu that does that. He'll just be writing scripture on the road. He will see it. Something will leap from it because he's a doer. It hits him and sets him the direction for the next level. What am I saying? Christians, we must be what? Doers. Not just, what most of the things we call doers of the word are those who just repeat other people's testimonies, thinking those things are chants and charms. That's why churches are full of people who just want, you know, Holy Ghost fire. Oh, Holy Ghost fire. Blood of Jesus. We repeat it. No. The men who are shouting and shouting are not doers. You know, there are those who stir up Satan, sleeping dog. A friend of mine told me one day he went to one of these deliverance-like churches. And they told him he had to come for deliverance. So he went. They prayed from morning till evening. The next 1 week, he was sick unto death. My wife and I were there that day. I said, who sent you? The devil left you alone. You know what here? You go arouse the man. I beat you. And God said, no, I'm not going to talk. I said, Lord, help. I said, no. When you are near death, I said, deliver him. Bring him back. He won't go there again. If I deliver him on day one, he will think it's the deliverance of last week. So let the demon always almost kill him. Then when you have said, God, I'm not going to go for deliverance again, say, good. Now deliver him. What am I saying? There are many men, because they are not doers, they go and be praying rubbish prayers, and Satan gets provoked. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who is this hearer that's trying to pretend like a doer? Do you understand my point? He gets up and beats him with afflictions, with sickness and troubles. The little poverty money was managing his poverty before he entered into that series of deliverance prayers. The little money disappears because the pastor will collect his portion. Are you getting my point? Please, believers, what are we supposed to be? Doers. Who is a doer? The person who recognizes, let me summarize it, please, this way. That every solution that I need is packaged in the thoughts and the mind of God as words. And until I hear that word, I will not be saved. Until that word comes and it's planted in my heart, my soul will not be delivered. Are you getting my point? Therefore, he seeks for that word and he goes to pray. There was one man I read about recently. I can't remember the details now. Say, a friend, okay, I saw it on TV, all right, on one of these Christian channels. So he was describing one of his friends who had the problem and said, don't worry, I'll see you over the next few days. I need to go and hear the word for that solution. Are you getting my point? That's how a Christian thinks. Your parents will call you and say, your friends are already married. When are you going to? They talk. Listen, afflictions in life must come. Amen? Challenges in life, they must come. Troubles will come. One day you will fall sick. I'm sorry to say it like that. God is not afraid of that. Do you know why? Before you fell sick, he prepared the healing. You know, assuming my son Agyelu goes to university, I know one day he's going to get broke. Is that not so? So what's the big deal? All I'm saying is that when you're broke, let me know. Some of us think that God is not like that. That if I'm broke, it means that God is dead. I don't know what I heard him say. And when Akinlu tells me he's broke, then I tell him, okay, because I like the way GT Bank used to do it those days. I would just walk over to the accountant and write a check in favor of the bank and put at the back. They used to do it those days. I don't know what it is. I think they still do it now. I just put at the back and say, please pay Akinlu and so-and-so branch this amount. That amount, let's assume 10,000, I'll write it in favor of that bank and give it to them. They used to do it those days. I'll now call him. Say, you say you are broke. This is a word to bring you out of that broken state. Go to GT Bank branch at Adeola Odeku in Lagos. You understand? Go to the counter and announce your name and call forth 10,000 naira. He went broke. So what? If he goes broke the following day, call me again. This time around, I go to UBA and tell them, any branch in the country, just walk over to the counter and say, I'm expecting money transfer from my father. Here is my ID. That is a word. So you enter into trouble means nothing. Your father has enough resources to deliver you. Your problem is that you have not heard the word of where he stored the solution. Your friend said, let me introduce you to, my friend is coming because you're a woman you want to marry. Let me introduce you. They have introduced to 17 people now. It's true. The first one was too short. The second one was too tall. The third one was too fat. The last one was too thin. The other one didn't speak English. This one is English so much you don't know how to talk to him. One liked food. The other one did not used to eat. Now you're on number 17. It is God that brought forth confusion to your soul. It's not the man. It's not the man. If God gives you a word, he said, I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. You will be in your house one day without having brushed. You have not applied your makeup. A man who missed his way will be looking for direction and one angel will push him like this. Knock on your door. Sorry, please. I'm looking for. As soon as says, I'm looking for you, man. Good morning. I make a joke about it all the time. One day I went to Benin for our convention. My pastor didn't show up on time. My pastor was supposed to preach. He didn't show up on time. So they said, my president said, Banky, you will talk until your pastor shows. I finished talking. That stirred up questions in one young woman's heart. After that, she walked up to me and said, good afternoon, sir. Please, I want to ask you some questions.
And I said, ah, you know, I'm really tired now. I can't take questions. As he turned around to go, and I said, maybe you can ask me later. As he left in my mind, I said, fine girl. She has married me for the last 11 years now. She insists till today that she only came to ask questions. So that's your problem. All I know is an angel brought you and said, Banky, I want you to meet this child of God. And as the angels said that, Holy Spirit said, arise, kill and eat. Are you getting my point? It's not just running up and down solutions we are talking about. There's a word for your breakthrough. There is. There is a word for your breakthrough. A doer realizes that and will not rest until he or she hears the word. Don't forget my scripture. Once I was reading the scriptures, and then suddenly my Bible opened. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Since that day, I knew I could never be poor. You know what that means? I like what I do. God will send a bird of prey from the east and the man of his purpose from a distant country. He must do that so that Banky will never be poor. Because the word must be fulfilled which says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Child of God in distress, don't move until you hear a word. That's what doers do. Doers are not those who run up and down. They are those who don't shift until they are sure they know, thus says the Lord. Not because they are trying to be religious, but because they know that the solution is in that word that God has spoken. There's healing in it. There's prosperity in it. There's deliverance in it. There is a husband in it. There is a wife in it. There are children in it. Do you get my point? I've discharged it for today. Let's bow down our heads to pray. Say, Father, we give you thanks.